Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Online, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to that podcast wherever you get your favorite podcast. We're sitting in a field in South Dakota chasing snow geese right now with Mid-Migration Outfitters. But man, it has been a busy, busy time in the outdoor world. A lot of people are like, what do you mean a busy time in the outdoor world? I'm waiting for the ice to melt so I can go put my boat in. Well, it's show season. It's snow goose season. People are still ice fishing. People are open water fishing. People are getting ready for turkeys. People are getting ready for the Rainy River. We'll have a Rainy River update coming up later in the show with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Last I heard, they were wrapping things up on Devil's Lake with the Snow Bears, with Lucas Mertens and Haybale Heights Campground and Resort as they get ready to transition to open water. Also, we're watching the snow line melt north here in South Dakota as the snow geese follow it up, and we're watching the ice melt on the little ponds here in eastern South Dakota. And last weekend, we spent time at the Northwest Sports Show at the Minneapolis Convention Center. So much going on there. Man, I had a chance to talk to a lot of old friends, met a lot of new friends, spent time at the Tadson Lake Lodge booth as we gear up for the summer open water season with giant lake trout at Tadson Lake Lodge, TadsonLake.com, Big Pike as well. While we had time there in the booth, I sat down and interviewed a whole slew of people from the Northwest Sports Show. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking to people who are at the Northwest Sports Show. This week, we're going to start off with one of those interviews. Newly inducted Freshwater Hall of Fame member Chip Lear, fishing the wild side. Chip Lear, what a great guy, deserving guy, got inducted into the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame during a ceremony that took place at the Northwest Sports Show here last weekend. And we're going to play back some of his induction speech that he gave at the show, and also talk to him about something called MinFish, which is a new advocacy group with some of the biggest names in fishing in Minnesota who are going to be speaking your voice with state representatives to ensure our fishing heritage stays strong in this state and that money is spent where it's supposed to be and new opportunities are available for those that want to go fishing and more. It's mn-fish.com. Chip will tell us more about that. He was inducted into that Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame along with Ray Dupuy and Matt Straw as well. So congratulations to all three of those deserving candidates for Hall of Fame induction. All right, so we'll talk to Chip, we'll talk to Joe, and we'll also talk to Jamie Dittman, who is working the Tadson Lake Lodge booth with us, as well as the Mandatory Fun Outdoors booth, too, in the next aisle over from us. We'll talk to Jamie about Mandatory Fun and what they're all about here in just a second. This week's show is brought to you by Tadson Lake Lodge, TadsonLake.com, to plan your summer lake trout and northern pike fishing adventure to northwest Saskatchewan. Also brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground and Resort, HayBaleHeights.com on Devil's Lake. Brought to you by Prairie Sportsman. We're back into new episodes Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television. PrairieSportsman.org for more information there. And also brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. LakeOfTheWoodsMN.com. Plan your Rainy River trip or get ready for open water here this spring at Lake of the Woods at LakeOfTheWoodsMN.com. And of course, also brought to you by Mid-Migration Outfitters. MidMigrationOutfitters.com offering spring snow goose guided hunts, Missouri, South Dakota. I'm in South Dakota right now with the guys while Tony Crotty is back at home. More information about what he's doing back there coming up in future shows here on Sporting Journal Radio. Find us on Facebook. Find us online. You can listen to past shows anytime at SportingJournalRadio.com. Right now, we're in the Tadson Lake Lodge booth with Jamie Dittman right now. Jamie, we're here Saturday. It's really nice outside. It'd be nice to be outside. This is a lot of fun in here today. There's a lot of people in here.
Yeah, it's really picking up today. Yesterday started off good and kind of slowed down, but it's wall-to-wall today.
That's right. Now, you're obviously here helping us out, too, with the Tadson Lake Lodge booth, but you've been one aisle over in a different booth.
Yeah, we have a new nonprofit veterans group called Mandatory Fun Outdoors. And unlike other groups, we focus on veterans and their families, and not just hunting and fishing, anything from blueberry picking to sled dog trips.
All right, that's based in Brainerd, or is it kind of a statewide thing, or what is it?
Pretty much statewide. We have board members from the Minneapolis area, Brainerd area, and Park Rapids.
All right. So how does somebody, like, if there's a veteran out there listening that wants to be a part of it, how do they reach you guys?
You can just find Mandatory Fun Outdoors on Facebook. Like the page. Right now, we're giving away a ton of Twins tickets. So you can go on there, find the date, and send us a message, and we'll get you some Twins tickets for you and your wife or you and your son. And this September, we're also having a unique event. It's an all-women's veterans trip. All women guides, all women veterans. That'll be announced next week, but that'll be in September. If you know any female veterans or guides that would like to come help, that's going to be braced in the Brainerd area at the Elks Camp on Pelican Lake.
All right, braced there or based there?
Based there.
Sorry. All right, Jamie Dittman talking about mandatory fun outdoors, and you kind of talked about some of the things that you want to do. Obviously, you're a fishing guide in the Brainerd area. You imagine a lot of this is going to be fishing?
A lot of it will be fishing and hunting, but we want to focus, too, on stuff that if somebody has an idea, we'll try to do it. If you want to see how to tap maple syrup trees, we'll do that. If you want to learn to pick mushrooms, we'll set up a group for that. So
somebody's sitting out there going, I would really like to try this. Maybe these guys will be interested in that. They can just call you up and say, hey, I kind of want to do this.
Yep, and we'll find somebody to take that group over, even at wood carving, anything. We'll try to arrange anything so that can happen.
All right, and who's it for again?
For Mandatory Fun Outdoors.
I mean, like, who's eligible? Any veteran, or how does that work?
Any veteran, yes.
Okay. All right, and so one question that always comes up then is, how do you pay for those things? And obviously, you look for donations, I'm guessing?
Yep, we're always happy to have people donate money to us, of course, and then land to hunt and do our trips on, or just volunteers to come help with our events. We also get grants from different organizations, and just people helping us out by giving us donations.
All right, and how do they do that?
They can, again, just go on Mandatory Fun Outdoors, and we accept PayPal and pretty much everything else now. And we are a nonprofit, and all of our organizers and helpers do everything, so we're not paid, so it all goes to the events.
Very cool. I know somebody came by your booth and dropped off a check the other day here, too.
Yeah, you'll get people to really surprise you and drop off checks for amazing amounts of money because they want to help, and that's awesome. That's what keeps us going.
All right, cool. Do you have anything lined up already yet, or are you waiting to hear from the boss to see what you're going to be doing this summer?
I don't know this summer. We might try to squeeze in a turkey hunt, and the rest we'll be doing definitely a mushroom trip and then the women's event.
Okay, very cool. So Facebook, online, where can we find you again?
Yep, on Facebook so far. We're just getting started. It's Mandatory Fun Outdoors, and you can find pretty much everything on there. And the website's just getting started also.
Tell us who all is involved with that.
So far, it's me and Dean from the DAV in Minneapolis, and Sam from Park Rapids, Sam Hunt, Sam Carlson, and Tom Whitehead from the Brainerd Lakes area.
Very cool. So are you looking for other volunteers or other guides to be a part of this too?
Yeah, for all our events, if you give us a holler with what you do, when we have an event coming up that we can use you at, we'll let you know, and we can always use people.
Mandatory Fun Outdoors, that's Jamie Dittman right here. And if you happen to read the latest outdoor news, I did an article in there about fishing on Lake Superior. Normally, everything I do, Jamie Dittman's name is in it, because you and I go everywhere to do all these cool things. You were not a part of this article. I did that on purpose because I'm sick of writing about you all the time, Jamie, because usually you have bigger fish than I do.
Usually, but this time we'll just skip that whole trip.
Yeah, it was a rough day. But I tell you what, man, you've done this for a number of years. So I know you and I talked about it. We had planned, let's go Friday up to Lake Superior. Let's do this thing. And then I was talking to Ben Putnam about it. And then the three of us started talking about it. And we were able to get this trip done. And fishing was tough for Lakers. We did catch a bunch of herring. We caught some salmon. But just the experience of being out on that lake and being able to walk on hard water on Lake Superior is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, nobody likes, I mean, they all say that's fishing, but we all like to catch fish. But when you do go up to Lake Superior like that, you can say you're one of very few that has ever walked on Lake Superior. So,
yeah, that was awesome. All right, you talked turkey hunt a little bit. When are you going to get out there and chase gobblers around or what?
Yep, we'll be getting ready for turkey hunting. We have the event coming up at Camp Ripley for the Disabled Veterans Turkey Hunt. And I'll try to get out and get some kids out, and hopefully my wife can bag one this year. And if time allows, I'll go out. So. Don't ask me that.
All right. Very cool. Well, it's awesome that you do stuff with Camp Ripley like that. Good luck turkey hunting. I don't know why you don't want to come out and shoot snows with us out in South Dakota. I know it's one of my favorite things to do, and you used to do it, but I guess you can go sit there and chase turkeys instead. But it's great. All right. Well, good luck with Mandatory Fun Outdoors, and thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thanks for having us.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to newly elected Hall of Fame member, the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, Chip Lear, Fishing the Wild Side. We had a chance to talk to Chip at the Northwest Sports Show last weekend. We'll hear from Chip next on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com.
Here it is, one of the nicest places in the world, I feel.
It's almost spring and soon the ice will be melting. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for listening to Sporting Journal Radio, wherever you're listening to this show right now. Our next guest is Chip Lear, new inductee into the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame.
Campbell, since I grew up right by Lake Erie, up to Lake of the Woods to be a fishing guide. But it was really more about figuring out who the heck I was, because I didn't know that fishing was going to become a career at that point in my life. In my 20s, my dad passed away. That hit me and affected me in a very, very big way. I also faced demons with my alcohol and drug abuse. So when I took off for Lake of the Woods, I was trying to figure out who the hell is Chip and what does he stand for. But I went up there, I went fishing, and it all kind of came together. I mean, suddenly it was fun to get up every morning and go guide, regardless of the fact that my fingers would be cracking and darn near falling off because they hurt so bad because they all the how dry they became. But guiding was absolutely fantastic. It was the best. I got up every day. I got to go fishing, and when you got done working all day, you got to go back out with the guides and fish all night. And then you got to get up the next day, and you got to go duck hunting, and then you go fishing, and then you clean people's fish, and then they clean people's ducks. Inika showed up, she cleaned people's ducks. It was awesome. Most importantly, you got done at the end of the day, and somebody handed you some money. It's like, oh, I'm doing something fun. People are handing me money. This thing is working out pretty good for me.
That was part of Chip Lear's speech at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame induction that took place last weekend at the Northwest Sports Show. We got to see Chip there, and then we sat down with him at the Tazzin Lake Lodge booth to talk to him about minfish and everything else that Chip's been up to. Chip, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. I mean, I'd love the enthusiasm that you see for our outdoors at these shows like this when everybody gets together. This is the kind of stuff, as much as I love everything that happens online, there's nothing better than getting people together and just feeding off the raw passion for the outdoors that you get at a sporting event like this. Human interaction is really important, and I think especially to the outdoors, because there's, you know, how do we get introduced to this sport? You know, no matter whether you're a fisher, a hunter, a hiker, a biker, a camper, whatever it happens to be, we, you know, there's somebody has to take us out there, and it's shared experiences that motivate us to take other people and introduce them to the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And our world is changing for sure, whether it's sports shows or what you see online or different regulations in the outdoor world. But there's definitely different philosophies out there when it comes to hunting, fishing, nature, things like that, and there's different viewpoints. And one thing that's really becoming popular, it seems like, is these advocacy groups for the outdoor world, because as one, we may be good at hunting and fishing, but we haven't always been good at speaking up for our rights out there. We're not always the greatest as contacting our legislators and representatives and things like that. And there's a new group out there that's going to do just that, right, Chip?
Yeah, I know. It's called the MNFISH. It's MNFISH Coalition, MNFISH Foundation. There's two actually arms to it. And it really is a group that was put together by some stakeholders to the fishing industry. There was a meeting amongst manufacturers within the sport of fishing in the state of fishing, Minnesota. And they all got together for a purpose, but we had a guest come in that day that brought up the fact about, you know, that how big our industry is. It's responsible for $4.2 billion in revenue generation inside the state. And from that, I think it's approximately $270 million in taxes that are that come from our sport of fishing. And what was the alarming fact was when we learned that of all these monies that are supposed to be allocated towards the sport of fishing, I believe it's roughly 50 cents on the dollar, or maybe even slightly less than that, that's getting all the way back to being reinvested for our sport. And that's what MNFISH is all about, is making sure that the monies that are set aside for fishing are spent on fishing, so we can continue to provide fishing opportunities across the state of Minnesota for anyone that's interested.
That's Chip Lear here on Sporting Journal Radio. We're talking about MNFISH, MNFISH.com is where you can find out more information about what we're talking about. And you mentioned these two arms, the foundation and the coalition. What does that mean, these two different arms of this?
Well, I think it's a little bit of nonprofit status purpose. We have one arm, the foundation, that raises the money, and then the coalition actually can spend the money. So, and it has more to do with taxes, and that's, I am not the CFO. I am not an accountant. I am terrible with numbers. Ask my wife. But if you want to talk fishing, hunting, how to run a depth finder, I got this covered, right? But when it comes to a checkbook, just don't even ask.
That's great. Well, we're looking through, we got the brochure here in front of us at the sports show, and we're looking through it, and obviously, Chip, you're involved with it. There's some pretty big names mentioned in this here.
Yeah, no, it's a really impressive group. Like I said, it came from a group of stakeholders. So, I mean, when you look at the board of directors, I mean, our president, Ron Shera, obviously a very visible individual, but also, you know, at the core of who he is, he's in retirement now. He doesn't have to stand up. He doesn't have to do anything, but he's taken on the presidency of this group. John Peterson, founder of Northland Fish and Tackle, is our vice president. And our treasurer is Dave Osborne, who owns Clam Corporation, has much better things to do than to worry about where and how our money is getting organized and spent, but he's taken on that role. I'm the treasurer. I'm glad to serve on that, take that purpose. But most importantly, I mean, we've got guys like Babe Winkleman on the board of directors. We've got Steve Benaz from Lake Commandos. We're waiting for a Prairie Sportsman's representative to stand up and provide their time.
I know a guy.
Yeah. But it's across the board, and it's everybody. We've got competing manufacturers sitting at the same table, because you know of all the monies that get raised, part of those tax dollars I was talking about is excise tax that every manufacturer in the state of Minnesota has to put back it has to pay to the state for everything they produce and sell inside the state. And plus there's monies that come from federal, and there's monies that come from fishing licenses, and it gets really interesting. Our legislative direction is by a gentleman by the name of Gary Leaf, and Gary keeps us apprised of everything that's going to happen on the cap and the capital side, and what bills are coming up and where and what's going on to allow us to come up with a position. Now at minfish.com, we've stated a lot of our positions on a lot of tactics. And the first thing I want to get out there is the fact is that we're not organized as a venue to bash the Minnesota DNR. That's not what we're here to do. We're not here to make enemies. We're here to work together to better fishing long term. I know that is what the DNR ultimately is after, and I think that there are different fishing groups all across the state that can agree on just that. What our role here is to hold our elected officials responsible for the monies that are supposed to be allocated for fishing. They get turned back into fishing. I mean, you can a good example currently is our fish hatchery system, which is just completely falling apart. They haven't put any investment into fish hatchery since like the 70s. And these things, if you look at them, are falling apart, and they're having trouble getting funding for those to get repaired. Well, you know what? If we're not getting all the monies spent on fishing that are supposed to be spent on fishing, this might be an option for our officials to consider. Let's put some money back into those hatcheries and make sure that they're up and operating and efficient, and maybe we can dump some more fish in lakes and make that many more opportunities for people coming.
So what's happening out there? Why isn't our money going where it's supposed to go?
That I don't know. What has been is not really any of our group's concern. We haven't had any of those conversations of, you know, what's gone wrong. Most of our efforts in our time spent has been to what can we do, you know, how do we get involved to make a difference moving forward. And what we're trying to do is unify groups. So right now, I mean, there's, you know, Muskies Inc. is a great group. The trout anglers have a group. Panfish and Walleye Guys, everybody has their own little niche. But what Minfish is trying to do is get everybody together, right? So if we can come up with one group, one list, so when we go sit down with the DNR and have some discussions, they're probably going to be a little bit more apt to listen if our register is, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 anglers versus a couple thousand. And that's really what we're trying to do, is get numbers.
That's Chip Lear, Fishing the Wildside, newly elected member of the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, talking about Minfish here on Sporting Journal Radio. More Chip coming up next. We also have Joe Henry, who will have a Rainy River update for us coming up on Sporting Journal Radio.
It's almost spring, and soon the ice will be melting. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazon Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazonLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazon Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazonLake.com. That's TazonLake.com.
Here it is, one of the nicest places in the world, I feel.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the network. I'm Brett Amundson. We're talking with Chip Lear, newly inductee to the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, about Minsure. which is an advocacy group for the fishing industry and the people that enjoy fishing in Minnesota.
Yeah, and that's a great idea. And I see this trend happening all over the place. Instead of being a single species type group, having a coalition like that of everybody on board, because we're all really fighting for the same thing. I mean, there's little niches here and there, but we're all ultimately trying to do the same thing. And we need to not fight with each other, but work together in this day and age. Chip Lear is our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. MNFish is what we're talking about. MN-fish.com is the website. So let's talk about somebody listening right now going, okay, well, this sounds great. How can I be involved?
It's simple. You get to MNFish.com and you register. It's perfectly free. What we're trying to do is just get everybody on the same page. So we beg you, your neighbors, your friends, everybody, your lake association, whoever you're associated with, get your group, get on MNFish.com and register. Now, obviously, there are different levels of membership. If you decide you like what we're doing and you want to support it, you can, you know, get on a reoccurring, you know, $35 a year or $100 or a life member at $250, or maybe you want to contribute even more than that. We are going to need funds to stay active. Right now, everybody in the group is a volunteer. There's nobody receiving any money. It's all just free and you know, volunteer work, because we're all under the same mission, which is to shorten the time between bites the next time you go fishing. And that's really our slogan, is just shorten the time between bites, go out and enjoy the sport.
When did this whole idea come about? This started in 2018?
Well, about March 15th this year, 2019, was actually the official launching date. We sent out a press release. It started around 2 years ago when John Peterson and the Minnesota Fishing Museum in Little Falls had actually kind of called together an emergency meeting because they were short on funding, and we... You know, they've been working to have an educational arm to help anglers in schools and in those types of scenarios. So this meeting came up. Well, somebody at the meeting had actually some stats. And what we learned was, you know, we were there to talk about the museum and the Hall of Fame. The meeting that was supposed to go for, you know, an hour or two tops, right? I mean, you get everybody together. We're going to have this quick little meeting, a discussion, make a plan. And it turned into all day. We were there for 7.5 hours sitting in a Hampton Inn in St. Cloud. And I'm talking, I mean, there's you know, Tom Mackin from Rapala. You've got executives from Lund Boats. You've got all these large manufacturers everybody got so enthralled with the information that we were learning. We got a hold of more people. We brought in more information. The next thing you know is that we're ordering lunch, we're extending the meeting, and it's going on and on and on. And that was really the beginning, was, you know what, there are monies out there, and they're just not being directed towards getting reinvested back into the sport of fishing. So what do we got to do to make sure our boat ramps are in good shape? More accesses are available to more people. We're not trying to shut down fisheries, and all that is really scary. And when you listen to some of the language being spoken out there about restricting opportunities to fish, that makes you kind of stand up and go, hey, you know what? We have every right to fish every body of water inside the state of Minnesota if it's got an access on it, and we certainly have the monies to maintain those accesses, so let's get it done.
That's Chip Lear here on Sporting Journal Radio talking about MNFish. MN-fish.com is the website. So how is it going to work if somebody signs up and becomes a member and they say, hey, I've got an idea. Can they contact MNFish and they'll then contact representatives? Or what's the goal of how this organization will work to try to change some things in the future?
Well, right now there's a survey on the website. We're doing a survey at the Northwest Sports Show. We've got some simple yes-no questions. So we're trying to take a pulse of where everybody's at. We know that there's going to be a bill going through the state of Minnesota on the fish hatchery issue, and that's one that we have taken a stance on. And that's probably going to be our initial thrust, to give that as much support as we possibly can, and give our legislators support. And from that, if you get involved, you get your email on there. Yes, there's going to be lots of questions. You're not going to get inundated with emails, but we probably will be sending out a newsletter on occasion to keep you abreast of what's happening. And if we need the pulse of Minnesota fishermen, you know what? Your voice will get heard if you sign up at minfish.com. We're gonna listen. We're gonna put all those thoughts together, and we'll have regular meetings, hopefully in St. Paul, and for the better. And it's, you know what? It's a slow process. None of this stuff's gonna happen overnight. But nothing happens if you don't get to the website and get registered and have your voice heard.
All right, so I can go and pay $35 on the website today and get signed up and become a part of this?
Or you can register for free. But we certainly want the $35. We're going to need the $35. But yes, it's as simple as that. And that was a big portion of us, is that we don't want to be restrictive. Like, you know, the only way you have your voice heard is by paying money, because we are here for the fishermen in Minnesota. We're the state of fishing. We're a bunch of people that are here, and the group is made up of passionate anglers, most of them born and raised Minnesotans, that are looking to continue opportunities for more moving forward.
It's a scary time right now, and I never really thought, I kind of felt like Minnesota is such a rich outdoor tradition that things would just, I mean, you would evolve, but things would generally remain status quo as far as the right to hunt and fish and the right to hunt and fish this or that or whatever. But when you look at what's happened, particularly in our country in the last few years, it almost feels like anything is possible.
Well, anything is possible, and I'm very fortunate in my job. I travel a lot of North America. I get to fish in a lot of places, as you do. And when we get home, you realize just how precious Minnesota fishing is. We really have it good here, but we can have it even better. You know, I mean, it's. We have some wonderful opportunity. We've got a lot of places with a lot of big fish, but we have areas of concern. And the biggest concern is access. And we got to ensure that everybody has an opportunity to fish wherever they want in the state of Minnesota. And that's a big deal.
And you say that, and to me, 10, 15 years ago, if you would have said that to me, I would have been like, yeah, what do you mean access to fishing? It's Minnesota. We got 10,000 lakes. We can go wherever we want. But the more I've fished around the United States, and the more in some of the guiding business that I've done across the United States on the hunting side, we always have guys that fish too. And they're like, well, we're from New York or whatever, and we can only fish this lake on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we can't ever fish that. I mean, I didn't realize just how restrictive it is in other parts of the United States compared to what it is like here in Minnesota.
Well, and I think that we can expect push for more restriction as everyone is concerned. I mean, there's a lot of states you go to. I mean, the aquatic invasive species things has, good, bad, or different, has changed how we look at lake access. It has also changed how residents and states look at allowing access to other people. And it is a fact. It's who we are. It's where we're at. There are places in North America that were public accesses that now have chains and locks on them, and you need to make a lot of extra steps in order to fish a body of water. And you know what? We want to support the protection of our resources. MinFish is very at the core of what we do is making sure that we've got clean and healthy fisheries moving forward across the state of Minnesota. But at the same time, there are ways to do it that still allow access to all. And it's just a big education. There's a large educational curve that needs and behavioral change that we're trying to accomplish so that we can all work together, fish together, and ultimately have more and better fishing.
Well, I think it's a great idea. I'm glad you were able to come and tell us about it. It's MinFish, mn-fish.com is the website. We're at the Northwest Sports Show right now, and it is getting busy here today, and the booth is getting kind of getting full and rambunctious here. Chip, you're working the Northland Tackle booth today?
Yeah, I'm working a little bit in the MinFish booth. I'm doing the Northland Tackle booth. I've got a seminar this afternoon that I'm doing with Steve Benaz of Lake Commandos. So it's a big Saturday at the Northwest Sports Show. I mean, this is the biggest celebration of our outdoor recreational sports in the state this Saturday right now today. So I love the enthusiasm and the energy on this floor.
Very good. Chip Lear, thanks for the time here on Sporting Journal Radio. Good luck with MinFish, mn-fish.com, and have a good rest of the weekend.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Bye. It's almost spring, and soon the ice will be melting. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazon Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazonLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazon Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazonLake.com. That's TazonLake.com.
Here it is, one of the nicest places in the world, I feel.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, now we're going to go up to Lake of the Woods and check in with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism here on Sporting Journal Radio. Joe, obviously we've been talking ice fishing. We've been talking about late season pike fishing up there. And guys, this is always an interesting time during the transition from ice fishing to open water. And up there at Lake of the Woods, it's always kind of one of those unique places where, Joe, you got guys doing both.
We do. It's so crazy. We don't. Yeah, if you're really an outdoor enthusiast and you're really a hardcore angler, it's a really, really confusing time. Probably a good time to see a therapist, because you know what? At one end of the lake, you got walleyes and saugers and monster pike being caught through the ice. That's a very, very, it's a unique window, a very short window. And that's happening as we speak. On the other end, you got the Rainy River popping open. In fact, there's open water out in front of the Birchdale access. That access itself isn't open as of today, Wednesday, but I'll tell you what, that access will be open, I'm predicting, this week for sure. People are starting to fish. I've got some walleyes photos from the river already, some big old girls coming out of there. I'll tell you what, man, it's a good time to be an outdoors person, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So, you know, normally when we talk about the Rainy River, obviously every time around this time of year we talk about fishing the Rainy River, but historically, when are guys fishing around Birchdale?
Historically, you know, around now, it every year is different, you know, but I think this is about right when it normally starts popping open. And some years it's later, some years it's earlier. It all depends. But what's interesting to me is I heard so many people talking about, oh, this is going to be a late year
late
for
year.
The river to open
yeah,
up.
For
yeah,
sure.
Because of the cold weather we've had and all the snow and everything. And, you know, I said, man, I don't know, because that river, the current in that river has just been ripping all winter. And consequently, we didn't get the ice formation on the river we normally do. That combined with, you know, all that snow will push that ice down into the current. So we had less ice to begin with. That ice is down in that current. It's getting eaten away more. You can tell in parts of the river that the snow is all gone. You know, when that snow is all gone, it melts and goes through the ice and there's no water on top. I mean, you know that ice is giving way and it's happening really quick.
You know, we've been watching, we're out in South Dakota chasing snow geese right now, and we're set up around some water, and we've been watching the ice the last couple of days. We're recording this on Wednesday. We've been watching the ice the last couple of days slowly melt, and then as the water warmed, or as the air temperature warmed up and the wind picked up, we watched it melting in a hurry,
and getting blacker and blacker and blacker. And then it all receded from the shoreline. And now we've gone from heavy south winds one day to heavy north winds the other day. And that ice sheet just keeps getting pushed back and forth across this lake that we're next to, Joe. So it's funny how, and I thought for sure it was going to be a late spring up there for the Rainy River. But boy, when Mother Nature says it's time to melt that ice, she doesn't mess around.
Nope, it happens quick. You know, current, warm weather, warm winds, rain, you know, just there's a number of things that does it. And but it's also one of the things that's scary about a river. You know, things can happen fast on a lake. They happen real fast on a river. And tell you what, for people that love dropping their boat in the rain in the springtime and catching hog walleyes, it's not a bad thing.
Well, let's talk about that. Joe Henry, our guest, Lake of the Woods Tourism, talking Rainy River here on Sporting Journal Radio. If I wanted to bring my boat up there right now, you said it's opening up around Birchdale. How am I going to go catch those walleyes, Joe?
Well, I'll tell you, most anglers are going to go, they're going to jig. And, you know, the nice thing about this time of the year is that, and one of the reasons that DNR lets people catch walleyes in the river this time of year is because, you know, the water is ice cold, you're fishing relatively shallow depths. And most people are using a jig and a minnow or a jig and a plastic. And, you know, from a, a catch and release perspective, you know, those walleyes are going to get let go just fine. And they're going to live fine because of all those conditions. Jig and a frozen shiner, a jig and a live emerald shiner, a jig and a minnow, or what one bait that a lot of people go with this time of year is jigging those big plastics. I like using those big rib tail plastics. Sometimes with a paddle tail, sometimes with a twister tail. But I mean, sometimes those plastics are so darn big. Some of my buddies that fish bass are like, shoot, I might as well bring my plastic worms with. I mean, they're big plastics. You put those on a good sized jig with that current, and you work that to either vertical jigging next to the boat where you're anchored up. You can cast shorelines with that. You can be, one of the things I like to do is I like to troll real slow into the current, real slow. And all of a sudden now, instead of your jig being vertical, you do more of a horizontal presentation where you're letting your great big lead head with your plastic fall back behind the boat at a 45-degree angle. And then you're pulling it forward. You let it drop back and hit that bottom. You feel it go thunk. You pull it forward. You let it back and go thunk. And then, you know, every once in a while, you drop that thing back, and it's not going to make it to the bottom. You're going to feel that thunk prematurely, and you set that hook. And it's a big walleye, you know. And so those ways of jigging are really effective. You know, the other thing that's interesting is that, you know, obviously most people are going to be fishing Minnesota waters. You know, for people that want to fish that Ontario side of the river, you know, you can, if you get an Ontario fishing license, of course, no alcohol on board. You got to have the proper documentation to go into Canada territory. Passport card, you know, those sort of things. But I mean, if you got the credentials to go into Canada, I know some more and more anglers, because you don't have to call in if you're going to stay in the water and not touch land, they'll slide over on that Ontario side or the Canadian side of the river, and they'll fish at shoreline. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of big walleyes in that shoreline too, because I think the sun hits a little differently, and you might have 1 or 2 degree warmer water, which can make all the difference in the world for those big females.
Yeah, Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking Rainy River. And that's one thing that I've noticed. You touched on it. Obviously, when you think of Lake of the Woods, frozen shiners is kind of a staple up there. But I've talked to people that have fished that Rainy with purely plastics. It won't touch live bait or dead live bait, whatever you want to call it. They use purely plastics, a lot of paddle tails, like you mentioned, and have just hammered big fish up there. And that slow troll, it seems like that real slow, some guys have caught them pitching, but that slow troll is what I've heard really works up there.
It does. You cover a little bit of water, and you know, you slide forward, you kind of figure out where the fish are. You can drift back slow, get a little bit different drift again, or jigging motion, but just working real slow against the current is real effective. You know, I'll tell you the other thing too, Brett, is don't be afraid to use a crankbait this time of year. You know, it's super cold water, but if you're trolling real slow, whether you're using a three-way rig out in the middle and pulling a shallow dive and Rapala type of thing behind it, or if you're just using a regular crankbait like a shad wrap or something and working a shoreline real slow into the current, those fish will respond very nicely to a crank. In fact, there's many days where that crankbait will produce a jig and a in a plastic or a jig and a minnow.
That three-way is something I've heard about, like on the Mississippi, that people have used, and that's kind of an interesting technique, and I'm sure it would work up there obviously as well. So when you talk about that, getting that crank down when you're trolling real, real slow using a three-way, and obviously it's going to depend on the current that you're faced with, but how much you're dropping a weight down on the bottom of that three-way and then some sort of leader with your crank?
Absolutely, yeah. So what it is ultimately is, you know, imagine a three-way swivel, and you know, the line to your rod and reel goes on one part of that three-way swivel. Off the bottom part of it, you have a dropper line. You know, maybe you have a 10-pound piece of monofilament that goes down 2 feet. And then coming off that third swivel off the back end, you might have a 4 to 6 foot piece of mono or fluorocarbon with a snapper swivel on it. And there you have a shallow diving crankbait. So then what you can do is you can, you know, whether it's a 2 or 3 ounce weight, let's say, you can be, you know, at about a 45 degree angle, trolling real slow against that current, and your lure is working like crazy because you're going slow, but there's so much current hitting that crankbait. You're going real slow and putting that lure in front of a lot of big walleyes that are working in the middle of that river channel. And that can just be an absolute deadly technique. You know, you want to be using a shallow diving crank because, you know, you're only a couple feet off the bottom with that three-way.
Sure.
So if you use too much of a deep diver, obviously it's going to dig in the sand or the mud. But, you know, something like a husky jerk or, you know, just a regular balsa rapala, or, and there's lots of other brands too, whether it's a Smithwick Rogue or Berkeley or whatever your favorite lure is. But the point of it is a shallow dive and crank, and, you know, man, that can be an effective way to catch big, big walleyes. You know, a lot of times too, it's something different. You know, when everybody is jigging around you, it's something different that you're pulling through there that the walleyes will respond to more favorably.
Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. Just a couple of minutes left here on the show. Talking about the Rainy Rivers, it starts to open up here. And obviously big walleyes up there through April 14, Joe? And it's all catch and release this year, correct?
It's all catch and release, yep. And, you know, I should remind everybody that the reason it's catch and release is because, you know, the DNR does studies every year. And they do that electroshocking in the rapids just to adjacent to Birchdale there. You know, it used to be that they used to get 50% mature male walleyes and 50% mature female walleyes. Well, now they're getting about 20% mature walleyes, male walleyes. And the reason they believe that to be the case is because, you know, everybody was keeping the two fish under 19 and a half, which was allowed in the past. Well, now they said, all right, we're going to give that stretch of river the best spawning opportunity we can. We also believe most people aren't going up there to keep 2 19-inchers. They're going up there to catch a fish of a lifetime, to catch 50 fish, to fish those big plastics, to do a three-way rig, and to get their boat in the water for the first time walleye fishing. In fact, you know, I would say that in many ways, you know, the Rainy River might be the only real place you could walleye fish right now in the state, just because I know down in Red Wing, they're getting so much flooding at those public boat ramps.
Oh, yeah.
It's really hard to get a boat in there.
Gosh, what a mess. Even out west from Minnesota, Lac Parle, we were getting pictures lately of water over the Lac Parle Dam. So the Minnesota River is actually coming up over the dam. It's all ice jams and then water literally flooding over the bridge, over the dam that goes over there. So hopefully people listening right now, you don't have issues with your property out there. It is gross this spring, wherever you're at. So, but if you want to do some fishing, of course, Rainy River is always a solid place. Joe, we didn't even talk about sturgeon. We only have about 30 seconds left here, so maybe we'll hit on sturgeon a little bit more later. But that's what a lot of guys do, right? Chase walleyes and sturgeon when they're up there.
You betcha. Just know that the sturgeon season's open. And sturgeon season's open. They're fun to catch. You fish, ultimately, in a nutshell, you fish the deeper holes of the river. Use a 3 to 4 ounce snow roll sinker, a sturgeon rig made up of 18 inches with a 5-aught circle, loaded up with crawlers and shiners, and hang on.
And if, that's right. And if people want to book a trip or find out more, where can they go?
You know what? Check out our website and our Facebook page. Lake of the Woods Tourism's Facebook page will up to date on the Rainy River. And, of course, our website, it's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. To listen to the show again, go to sportingjournalradio.com or download the podcast in your podcast app or iTunes. Find us on Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.